Good afternoon. Warm greetings to one and all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Please allow me to take this opportunity to wish one and all a very blessed Christmas as well. Man was made in God's image. Not the birds, not the sea creatures, not any creatures on earth, not even angels. Only humanity. Man made in God's image, which makes us godly. Then why is there a need for this title, The Mystery of Godliness Revealed? When man fell into sin, he lost the image of God that was perfect. The image of God was lost, not destroyed. Because in Genesis chapter 9, at the end of the flood, God said that when man was given the warning that if you were to take another man's life, your own life will be taken, especially when it comes to murder. The reason God gave was because that man whose life that you have taken was made in God's image. And that is how we know that when man fell into sin, the image of God was not destroyed. It was very badly marred. And that is how we see humanity according to Scripture. Man is still able to create. And so we have a lot of creation all around us. We call it cities. You call it buildings. You see all the creation that we put on as part of our garments. Look at the creation of the modern electronic gadgets that we use to make our lives move faster. Not better, but definitely faster. Where communication is no longer at the pace of a slow mail. You can now send your message to your loved one across the ocean by the click of a mouse. In the past, it was writing a letter, putting into the mailbox after you put on a stamp, and then you wait for the post office to take your mail, put it on a ship or an airplane, and then transport your letter to your loved one in another country. And then the post office in that country will do everything the reverse. And then they'll take your mail and put it into the letterbox of your loved one. And then when your loved one decides to reply, the whole process will start all over again. All these abilities of man, the ability to love, to feel, to cry, to appreciate, the ability to have self-consciousness and determination. When people ask you, what is your name? You know who you are. Not animals, not the sea creatures. They were not made in God's image. Man was. And when this image of God was destroyed in terms of its perfection, God said, I cannot allow man, though made in my image, to enter heaven. Because this image is now corrupted by sin. In order for man to enter heaven and to be with me in heaven forever and ever, the image of God has to be restored. I have to help man gain back the image that I gave to their first parents, Adam and Eve, before the fall. And look at man. How can God repair, restore back the image of God that we lost because of sin? Can man restore this image of God by his own works? Can man do whatever he takes to fix it himself? The Lord says, impossible. And the reason is, the moment we begin to exist in our mother's womb, the image of God was there, but it's already marred, which means marred by sin. We are already sinner. And therefore, our good works, as far as God is concerned, are already stained by sin. And that is why God says, the righteousness, the good works of man, may be in the eyes of fellow human being, may be considered as righteous, but as far as God is concerned, in whom we have his image, God says, they are like filthy rags. Not even close. There is no way any sinner who is corrupted by sin from birth, and then after they cross the line into human responsibility, we call the age of accountability, he continued to commit more sin, this time willfully, deliberately. We can see the evidence of children born to this world exhibiting sinful behavior even before they cross into the age of accountability. They throw tantrums, they can be selfish, they can be angry for no reason. All these are the evidence of the sinful nature in our babies, in our toddlers. And the moment that they become more willful, more responsible, where their mind now is developed into one of responsibility and proper understanding of right and wrong, they commit now willful sin. They now will plan to tell lies. They do not just simply exhibit the sinful nature. They will now be controlled by the sinful nature. So much so that whatever their heart desires, they just go for it. They do not care about the consequences. They do not care about who they hurt. How can men who are now in this sad stain of evil and wickedness and sin be given back the image of God, which is one of godliness, no sin? How is that possible? And so the Bible tells us the mystery of godliness revealed. Our godliness, not God's. Our need for this godliness that is defined by God. Perfection, holiness, goodness, that's God's attribute. That's God's understanding of godliness. To become like God again. No longer a sinner, no longer have this image marred by sin. Now, mystery simply means God's truth that he has kept hidden, that he will reveal in his own time. He did not reveal this truth in this manner in the Old Testament. He did not reveal it anywhere else in the Bible of the Old Testament. But now, that's the meaning of mystery. So that people like ourselves in this generation, in this part of the timeline after God had revealed to us the mystery of godliness, that we have no excuse not to be godly. We have no reason to remain in this state of ungodliness or sin. Because the Bible says that when a sinner dies in his sin, he stands before God on the day of judgment. For God warns us, it is appointed unto every man, as long as you are born, once to die. And after that, it will be the judgment. That is the lot of everyone who is born into this world. No exception. No exception. And therefore, the moment you are born, you will surely die, and the judgment of God awaits you. Now, if you die in sin, God knows it. God knows you and me through and through. God knows every thought before we speak it. God knows every motive before we exercise any action. He knows the motive before you say anything. He knows the motive before you do anything. And that's how God will evaluate what you do, based upon your motive as well as your thinking. For us, when we judge another human being, it's only what we see and hear. That's it. We need evidence. But as far as God's judgment is concerned, it's the whole life of a person in his entirety. And so God says, when you bow down to idol, you have sinned against me. When you commit adultery, you sin against me. When you lie to another human being, you sin against me. When you are angry with a person without a just cause, you have sinned against me.
so easy for us to stumble and fall into sin. And we know that our sins are so many and so full, we can't even number them. We can't even count them. And that's why God says, I would now like to reveal to all of you how to gain back the godliness that was yours before Adam lost it on your behalf as the representative man. He represented humanity. And this is God's mystery revealed on how sinner can gain back and restore the godliness that is his to experience. First, Emmanuel. That's the word. God was manifest in the flesh. Emmanuel means with us is God. God will have to walk amongst men to be one of us. In other words, the justice of God demands that every sinner must be punished. The moment God says, no need, then God will lose his own holiness. Then God will have sinned against himself, and he will cease to be God. Therefore, God cannot change this holy justice that he has set before all humanity. Everyone who sinned against God must be punished. Angels sinned against God, they were punished. God cast them out of heaven. What about the birds? What about the fish? What about the land animals? They can't sin because they do not have any image of God. They are just simply creatures that God created that exist based upon their instincts. You ask your dog, you name your dog, Doggy. So you ask the dog, may I know your name? That's the answer from the dog. Silence. You think the dog will say, Doggy? You think the dog will answer? No, he can't. They exist by instinct. So therefore, animals cannot sin. Birds cannot sin. Fish cannot sin. They are created by God for our enjoyment. After the end of the flood, God says, from now onwards, I give you permission to eat them. That's why I will now put the fear of man in the fish, in the birds, and in all the animals. So that when you want to eat them, you go to catch them. Before that, they did not fear man. You just call. Bird, come. The bird will come. Parrot, come. The parrot will fly down and come. But after the flood, God changed it. You see, God demonstrated his power. Animals, birds, all this, they can't sin. But men and angels, they can. And everyone that sin must be punished. No exception. And as long as we remain in this state, we cannot save ourselves. Our godliness is gone. For good. The perfect godliness is gone for good. God has to help us in order to gain back this. In other words, get rid of sin in your life and in my life. That's the only way for us to get back our godliness, isn't it? Because of sin, our perfect godliness is now marred. It's not destroyed, it's marred. Get rid of sin, the mar, the damage to it will now be restored. Correct? That's the only way. It makes sense. Get rid of sin in your life, then godliness will be restored. You will be like God again in perfection. That is the mystery of this godliness that God has revealed to us. And the first step is Emmanuel. God has to come down to be one of us, to die in our place, to be punished for our sins. That's what this word, this phrase means. God was manifest in the flesh. God had to appear. God had to appear to man in the flesh. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Christmas. The birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Son of God became a man. How did he become a man and not become a sinner? Now we have already mentioned, anyone and everyone that begins to exist in the mother's womb is a sinner. Every baby is born to this world is a born sinner. So how can God give Jesus Christ a humanity that
is without sin when everyone on earth is a sinner. God chose the Virgin Mary, who was also a sinner, who was also a believer. God chose her. And the Bible tells us in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verse 35, that the Holy Spirit came upon her and the power of the highest did something miraculous. And that's how Jesus Christ obtained his humanity and was found inside the womb of the Virgin Mary. Her husband Joseph did not know the Virgin Mary at that point in time. It was the work of the Holy Spirit, the power of the highest that came upon her. And she was with child. And because the seed of man was not involved, Jesus Christ, even though he was found inside Mary's womb, who was a sinner herself, but saved, was a believer. That's why when the angel Gabriel met up with her, she obediently, willingly submitted to God's will in her life to become the chosen virgin, the woman that will bring forth the Lord Jesus Christ and to give Jesus Christ his humanity. And that's how Jesus Christ was conceived inside Mary's womb without sin. And that's why Jesus Christ was born to this world, because Joseph and Mary, though they were married soon after this incident, they did not consummate the marriage until after Jesus was born. And after Jesus was born, Mary had a few more sons. Jesus had at least four half-brothers. We know that from the Gospels. And that's how Jesus Christ was born and was without sin. And he now became man. That's the meaning of this phrase. God was manifest in the flesh. And that is the message of Christmas. A remembrance with thankful, grateful hearts of the Son of God becoming the Son of Man, born in a manger in the city of Bethlehem. Nobody cared for Jesus when he was born. There was no room in the inn. They used to come from Bethlehem, and so when the King Herod asked for a census, everyone must return to their original homeland. They already migrated and left Bethlehem and moved to Nazareth all the way up north in Galilee, like many, many people do in big cities, in big countries. Singapore is an island. We do not move from one city to the next, but people who live in big countries with many cities, like even Malaysia, you may be born in Malacca, but after you finish school, you probably moved out of Malacca and worked in KL, where you have the heart of the business center of Malaysia, where there are more jobs, more prosperous jobs, and so people leave and move out from their home birth city to another city. It's common. And so they move to Nazareth because Herod said, I want a census, I want to know exactly where all of you were found, were born, and how big that town or city was. And so they have to travel from Nazareth to Bethlehem. And by the time they arrive, with Jesus about to be born, many people who do not have that kind of struggle, they have to walk very slowly. They arrived in Bethlehem, they already took up all the rooms and all the vacancies. They already probably sold their own home and they moved out of Bethlehem to Nazareth. And so by the time they arrive, hoping that there will be a room available for Jesus to be born, only room available was the manger, the place where animals feed and eat their straw. That was where Jesus Christ was born. Not born as a king, even though he was. A simple birth, ignored by the world, but cared for, prophesied about by God himself. Of course, nowadays, we glamorize it, make it so glamorous as if it was a very, very pristine and healthy environment. All of us today are born in a hospital, in a pristine environment, germ-free, with doctors and nurses all around before we came into this world. Far, far, far better than where Jesus Christ was born amongst animals.
No hygiene, no cleanliness at all. The stench of animals and their rubbish all surrounding that manger.
That's how Jesus Christ became one of us. That's how God was manifested in the flesh in order to save us. Emmanuel, justified in the Spirit. Two meanings in this: justified in the Spirit, seen from the perspective of Jesus Christ, this is to fulfill the justice of God. And the Holy Spirit testified that in order for you and me to have our godliness restored, God had to help us get rid of sin. And every sinner's sin must be punished. And Jesus Christ will come to satisfy that justice of God. In other words, He came to be punished on our behalf. Your sins and my sins, that is meant for us, where God should punish us. Jesus Christ says, I will now come and take your punishment that you deserve on my body, and let God punish me instead of you. Justified in the Spirit, from God's perspective, this was Jesus Christ satisfying fully God's holy and perfect justice in order to help man gain back his godliness. And from our perspective, this is the justification that is spiritual. Justified in the Spirit. In other words, it's not by baptism that we are justified. It's not by attending church that we are justified. It's not by preaching from the pulpit that we are justified. It's not by studying in a seminary and a Bible college and get all the A's and be justified. It's none of these things. It is a justification that is spiritual. It is the work of God, in other words. And it is not visible to the naked eyes. But everyone who is justified would know it in his own heart that he is justified. That's the meaning and significance of this Emmanuel. To help us be righteous before God again. In other words, to get rid of our sin. Isn't that what justified means? It's the word for righteousness. It's helping us to stand before God as a righteous person, as if we have never sinned against God ever before. That's the meaning. And it is a spiritual experience. It is the work of the Holy Spirit. And that's why when Jesus Christ, when he was on earth, he met up with a Pharisee by the name of Nicodemus. Nicodemus thought that because he was a Pharisee, he knew the Old Testament better than all of us. And he was a teacher of other Pharisees. And he thought that he would be the best candidate to enter heaven. And when he encountered Jesus Christ that night, Jesus Christ said to him, Nicodemus, unless you are born again, you can't even see the kingdom of heaven. When Nicodemus all this while thought that he will enter the kingdom of heaven. And kingdom of heaven is not a small place, it's huge. And if Nicodemus, who obeyed the Christian works according to the Old Testament, what food to eat, what food not to eat, observe all the holy days very, very rigidly, legalistically. And he can't even see the kingdom of heaven. He thought he could enter. That's how far away he was from heaven. And then Jesus said to him, after he understood, you mean I have to be born and get into my mother's womb and be born again? Yes. Because when the baby is given life, when he came out of the mother's womb, did the baby do anything to deserve life? No. So you want to have eternal life from God, you have to give up all your old thinking of good works, even good Christian works. You have to deny them and reject them once and for all, and then you have to be born again, and this time by water and the Spirit, which is the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will take the Word of God, that is what we are reading now, and bring conviction and conversion, and that's how sinners are justified. That's the meaning from the perspective of Christ, the justification that is to satisfy God's justice, from the sinner's perspective, it is the work of the Holy Spirit, whereby there is no sinner whose sin is so evil and so heinous in the sight of God that the Spirit of God cannot justify using the blood of Christ. All sinners, all sin can be washed by the blood of Christ. In other words, every sinner can be saved. That's Emmanuel. God manifest in the flesh to satisfy God's justice so that no sinner cannot be saved. The second thing to note is the word justification itself. You know how wonderful it is to stand before God righteous? To stand before God righteous as witnessed by the angels. Because seen by angels, seen of angels, I mean, that seems to be something out of place. And what has angels got to do with this mystery of godliness? You see, these are the good angels, not the fallen angels who are demons. Good angels. Why did God include them in this mystery of godliness revealed to us? That no one can argue or deny. That's without controversy. That's what it means. The word see there means to look at something and stare at it without blinking. Because you are now looking at something that is very, very spectacular. That you've never seen before. That's the meaning of the word see. There are about 5-6 words in Greek for the word see. This word see means to gaze at something that is miraculous, that is stupendous, that is spectacular. And you cannot take your eyes off it. And that's why seeing of angels, when Jesus Christ was born, was it not an angel who gave the message to the Virgin Mary? Yes. Was it not the same angel Gabriel who also spoke to Joseph about the Lord Jesus Christ, that your betrothed wife, Mary, she is now pregnant, not because she has committed fornication, she is with child because of the power of the Holy Spirit that came upon her. Don't cast her away. He was about to. He was a godly, honorable man. How can I marry someone who has already committed fornication? That's what he thought. But the angel came to correct him. And thank God he was born again already and he understood and he obeyed God, just as Mary also obeyed God. And at the baptism, God the Father was there, God the Holy Spirit was there. The angels. Remember when Jesus Christ was born? Was not the angels who called the shepherd to go there to let them know so that they will appear in the manger to welcome the birth of our Savior? And then was it not the angel who rolled away the stone at the death of the Lord Jesus Christ prior to his resurrection? Was it not an angel who said to the disciples, why are you standing here in Acts 1 looking up into the heavens as Jesus Christ ascended to heaven, finished his mission perfectly? The angels saw the Son of God, the creator of heaven and earth, the creator of the angels, taking on humanity. They could not take their eyes off this. How could the Son of God put himself in this state and condition? Because the moment the Son of God became the Son of Man, remember what God said, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. Why would Jesus Christ take on human form and put himself into a position to experience death? That's why the angels, they stare and gaze upon something that was so stupendous. They knew and recognized the Lord Jesus Christ as their creator in heaven. Even the demons recognized Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ walked on earth. They know the Lord Jesus Christ. But in this particular verse, it says that they stared at something to be our witness that this manifestation of God as a man actually really took place. The angels who are perfect in godliness and holiness. The moment they sin, they'll be cast down. That's why they can remain in heaven. We know the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been with Him from the very beginning of our existence in heaven. And now we are telling you as heavenly witnesses that God really became man. It is not a myth. It is not a legend. It is not some stories that grandma told their children in Israel to put their children to sleep. This really actually happened. This justification of God, that's the only way for sinners like ourselves to return, to get back our godliness that we lost. The perfect godliness that we lost when man fell into sin. God says, I want to give them back to you. Give this godliness back to you so that you will be godly, so that you can enter heaven and be with me, your God. That is the mystery of this godliness revealed for our sakes. For our sakes. But then do Christians still not sin? Yes, we still sin. But our desire in the heart is not to sin. Then why do we sin? Because God knows that as long as His children serve Him and witness for Him in this flesh, this earthen vessel that is made out of the dust of this ground, the temptation will still have some pull over us that may cause us to stumble and fall into sin. But the sins that we now commit should only be committed actually in our inner man. That means, as Jesus says, if you are born again in Christ, your sensitivity to sin is now so heightened that the moment you are angry with a person without a just cause, I want you to know that you have already committed murder. You have killed someone. And therefore, you stop it there. Don't let it come out of your mouth with some lies and some concocted slander. Don't let it go out. Stop it there. Repent right there and then. Same with the sin of committing adultery. The moment you lust of the woman in your heart, know that you have committed adultery. Repent right there and then. Don't let it come out. Don't let it go any further. Now that is the life of everyone who is born again in Christ, who now has been given back the restoration of the godliness that we lost. When Adam sinned, the perfect godliness, the correct godliness. And every born-again believer will do that. Do you know that? The desire to be perfect and never to sin again is now found in every believer's heart. Because that is what happened when someone has been returned to godliness, where godliness has been restored in him. Why do you think the Bible tells us become more and more like Christ, right? What does that mean? Become more and more like Christ? Because we can, which means what? Is Christ not God? We become more and more godly. To be more like Christ is to become more and more like God in the practical sense. You are already in Christ. You are already perfect in godliness within you, the inner man. But as long as you witness for God in this earthen weak vessel that was made out of the dust of this ground, and God has to teach us that you must match the inner man who is now perfectly godly with the outer man godliness. The moment you sin, this godliness outwardly is now affected, marred. You have to repent and then it will be restored again, where the inner godliness and the outer godliness match one and the same. That's why repentance is so important in every believer's life. And one day when we receive the glorified body, yes, the inner godliness and the outward godliness will be matching perfectly, permanently, and eternally. That is when we are glorified. Because this godliness is offered to every man, but it is not automatic. You have to believe. The mystery of godliness revealed begins with Emmanuel. It results in justification by the Holy Spirit with the angels as witnesses. And then the third word to bear in mind when you think of this mystery of godliness revealed, First is Emmanuel, followed by justification, and the third is belief. You have to believe. It's not automatic. If you do not believe, that means you say to God, God, I don't agree with you. I don't believe. I call you a liar, in other words. When God says, this is the godliness that I can give back to you and restore, I now reveal it to you, how it can be done in your life. Would you accept it? You say no, then you lose it. You don't have it. But the moment you say yes, with all sincerity and with all your heart, that what you witnessed this afternoon in the baptism of the two sisters, their testimony, they believe, they accepted. That's it. You don't have to pay for it. Preach unto the Gentiles, that will be us, believed on in the world. That's all you need to do. Believe. That's it. Believe on in the world. You can't work for it. It's not by baptism, not by taking the Lord's Supper, not by giving the offering that this is given to you, your godliness. No. It's freely offered and given to everyone. All you need to do is to believe in your heart that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, became the Son of Man to die on the cross in my place. All the sins I committed against God, the punishment that I deserved, Jesus Christ was punished in His body on my behalf. That's what belief means. That Jesus Christ, my Lord and my Savior, became my substitute. He basically took the garment of my sin and put it on His body. And then when the punishment that I deserve, that's why Jesus Christ was persecuted. They scourged Him, they spat on Him, they punched Him, they mocked Him, they laughed at Him, they wove a crown of thorns and forced it down His head, and then they crucified Him until He died. Because the punishment that we deserve must include death. That's why Jesus Christ must die. And the moment you believe and you receive Jesus Christ as your substitute, as the one who took your place and died in your place, punished in your place, God says, you will be saved. Because Jesus Christ, what He did after He died, God raised Him from the dead on the third day after He died, and then He returned back to God in glory to let us know that what Jesus Christ did on our behalf was enough to satisfy God's justice, to remove every sin that any sinner committed against Him, and the godliness that he doesn't have, that he lost, will now be returned to him, restored. That's why every believer is charged by God to be like Christ, to be holy as God is holy, because now we can. The moment you become a Christian, in other words, the godliness is now restored. When will it be perfected? It will be perfected when this body is replaced by the glorified body that will never, never fall into sin again. A body that will never, ever die. And that is the glorious body that Jesus Christ Himself was given by God. The moment God raised Him from the dead, Jesus Christ received the glorified body that is flesh and bones, is real, can eat, can drink, because that's what He did. And then it is powerful, it is immortal, it is glorious, and it is spiritual. And that body will be ours too, one day. And that will be the climax and the culmination of the mystery of the godliness revealed. That is the godliness that God wants every sinner to have, only in and through Christ. It's our fault that man lost it, the godliness. But it is by the mercies of God, God now offered it freely to anyone and everyone. All you need is to believe with all your heart. Confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sin, rose from the dead for your justification, and the Spirit of God will know your sincerity, and He will convict you, and He will convert you, and Jesus Christ would know, and He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit, and that's when the Spirit of God will now dwell in you, and you will have your godliness restored completely into your heart. and you will be godly, as God has revealed to us in Holy Scripture. You know you are different from the rest of creation. You look at where man lives and where the animals dwell. There is no such thing as evolution. We definitely not evolve from the animals. Why are we so similar to the animals? Why are we so different from the birds and the fish? The answer is simple. The similarity is because of the similar environment that we live in for us to breathe. That's why we are not the same as the birds and the fish. You want to swim with the fish, you have to create an artificial environment that is like the earth, the land. And so we did, and we call it a submarine. You want to fly like the birds, you have to create an artificial environment that is like the earth on land. We call it an aeroplane. Inside the aeroplane, you have an atmosphere that is very similar to the earth, or else we die. And so the similarity of the environment allow us to breathe like many of the land animals. But that does not make us evolve from them. That is not true. We are made in God's image. You know it. But you also know that you are a sinner. And that's where the godliness was lost. But then God says, I have helped you to gain it back. And it is offered freely to you. And it is found in this particular verse, 1 Timothy 3:16. God manifest and became man to fulfill the justice of God completely, to satisfy it. And the Spirit of God is the one who will help us understand. And angels are the witnesses to let us know that this is true, that the Son of God became the Son of Man. They could not take their eyes off this stupendous event. When Jesus Christ was born, when Jesus Christ was persecuted and died on the cross, the angels were there to witness all of it on earth, right up to His ascension. But you have to believe. And the moment you believe with all your heart, God promised you, you will be saved. And the godliness will return to you in fullness, better than what Adam lost. And you will no longer be cast into hell, but to heaven you will go. Return to your God in godliness. Let us pray. Almighty God, our most merciful, loving Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts, O Lord, out of Thy holy word. For we know that salvation is truly of the Lord. May the word of God through the Holy Spirit bring conviction and conversion to some hearts. Those whom you have brought into the church this afternoon, they are not here by chance nor by accident, but by Thy sovereign will and appointment. O Lord, may they submit themselves to the prompting of Thy Holy Spirit, that they may experience salvation, grace, and mercies, and to know what godliness in Christ Jesus means in their hearts and in their lives, how You have made man in Thy image, and how we have lost it because we are now sinners, no longer godly. But in Christ Jesus, the godliness is restored to every believer's heart. And help us as Thy blood-bought children to be godly according to Scripture, so that wherever we go, by our good works, they will see Christ in us and glorify our Father who art in heaven. Bless everyone, O Lord, at this Christmas with Thy truth, with Thy salvation, and with Thy godliness. For Jesus' sake, in Jesus' most precious and holy name, we give thanks and pray. Amen.